Good evening, Saints. As always, it is a pleasure and an honor to be here. To our friends who are visiting us here tonight, we thank you for your presence. We hope and pray that you, if have not yet done so, will be willing to share your information with us so that we can remain in contact with one another. And if you have any questions concerning our Bible study tonight, or any questions regarding the Bible, please don't go home with them. We encourage you to ask them, as we will do our very best with God's Word in hand to give you those biblical answers to your biblical questions. Once again, we thank everyone who's here. We hope and pray that you were able to get some rest in the in-between, and thank you for being here tonight as we now will go on and to continue our studying our third quarter that we have begun earlier today that our elders have entitled Family Values. You will please open Exodus, your Bibles, to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid in it the reeds by the river bank. And his sisters stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the waters." Would you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, our Creator and our Lord, we kneel, Father, before thy throne of grace through the avenue of prayer with gratitude in our hearts, Lord. We are truly grateful for the many blessings that thou hast poured upon us, and we are truly grateful for the opportunity that we have, Father, to once again stand before thy presence, to worship thee, to sing songs of praise, Father, but now to listen to thy word through the lips of this thy servant. Father, please be with me. Please allow me to share that which I have been able to learn, and that I, Father, may present it in a manner that is in accordance to thy word and not through the opinion of men. Father, that those who are listening, Father, may be listening attentively, that they may be listening diligently and researching daily thy scriptures, to confirm if indeed, Father, these words are in accordance to thy will. And if, Father, if that be the case, that we all may have the courage and that we all may have the strength, the godliness to abide by these words, for we know, Lord, that only they have everlasting life. Father, forgive us when we have failed thee. Forgive us when we have committed sin before thy sight. We thank thee, Lord, and we ask this not because we are worthy, but we do it in the precious name of our Savior and thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I forget, an update was given to me before I came up here, two actually. The first one has to do with Sister Herrera's granddaughter, Margaret. Apparently this morning she had to be taken back into the hospital, so we ask that you please continue to pray for baby Margaret. Since that update was given to us. And secondly, the arrangements for Sister Esther Norton have already been set. Visitation will be Friday, August 21st, 10 a.m., and the service will be at 11 a.m. at Mission Park South, but limited seating will be the way they go around. So wanted to mention those two before I forgot, before they slipped my mind. Having said that, we have titled our lesson this evening, A Threefold Cord. If you are a diligent student of the Bible, you know that this is a phrase that comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 11, the second half of verse 11. If you recall, beginning there at verse 8, the Bible tells us why two are better than one. It speaks about how they have they receive a better pay. It talks about how two are better than one because they are able to keep each other warm. But there in verse 11, when it speaks about that, and I encourage you to turn in your Bibles very quickly, there at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, observe within the context of why two are better than one in this case. Notice how in chapter 4, what it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Notice how first it tells us in verse 9 that two are better than one because their wages will be more or it will increase. Two are better than one because they can keep each other warm during a cold night. But the final portion, verse 12, teaches us that two are better than one because they can provide protection for one another. There is no need to tell us that these two that are working as one have to be in the same mindset. We can understand that and we can infer it from the context. We can see that it is talking about a unity, and it is interesting that the whole time he is speaking about two, he ends by saying a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, this is interesting because we are speaking about family values. And very likely the question is, well, what does this have to do with what we are now studying? How does this tie in or apply with what Exodus chapter 2 is teaching us? Well, a family is only valuable when that family is completely united. A family is only valuable and the values are truly esteemed when that family speak the same thing, think the same thing, and live in the same manner. We mentioned it this morning as we talked about how a godly parent will instruct their children through word and example, but the child becomes godly when he takes the instruction and applies it into his own life. So we see that unity and we see that cohesiveness that begins to take place, and a united family becomes mighty and strong in the eyes of the Lord. So when we talk about Exodus chapter 2, and I encourage you to go back there, what we're going to be examining is how this is an example of that. Remember that in Exodus chapter 2, what we see as an end result is that they were able to protect what would soon become the liberator of Israel, the man whom God himself had chosen to bring forth the people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. And it is increasingly beautiful when we continue to study it time and time again. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the time that I have had the honor and privilege to study with you, this is perhaps either the third or the fourth time I take from this scripture and we learn another lesson from it. Notice the cohesiveness that is found in the family of Moses. Observe the family values that we find in the pages of the sacred scripture. If you begin, notice in verse 1 how it says, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi." We begin by seeing once again that it is a man who was bold, a man who was brave. And we know this because in chapter 1, Pharaoh had already made his royal decree that all of the Israelite children under 2 years old were to be drowned in the Nile. And yet this man was bold enough, although he was a slave of Egypt, although he was under tyranny that was unrighteous, he was bold enough to take a wife and start a family. You see, we have to understand, brethren, that to become a father, to become a husband, it is not for the faint of the heart. We've already established in our first and our second quarter how the weight and the burden of the family bears upon the head of household's shoulders. Because he will be the one held accountable for that home. He will be the one who will have to give an answer for what he has done in regards to the instruction of the children, in regards to the provision and the preparation of his family. Thus we see here in chapter 2 verse 1 how this man showed himself to be bold. How this man showed himself to be a man who was truly of a godly character. Not only does the Bible tell us that he was from the tribe of Levi, which shows that then he was probably of the lineage of the priesthood before God had already chosen them, but we see that he not only had Moses, but he had two other children prior to Moses. There was Miriam, and then of course there was Aaron. So to have a family in the time of tyranny, in a time where they truly had nothing to look forward to, this truly took a strength of character. This was something that was bold. But we see that his wife was no different. We look at the unity because we see in chapter 2, verse 2, that when she gives birth to Moses, that she, says scripture here, saw that the child was beautiful. But now I encourage you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Notice what scripture says there by the Hebrew writer. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months, observe, by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Yes, in the book of Exodus, it tells us that it's Jochebed. And yes, in the book of Exodus, it shows that she's the one who goes and prepares the ark to put her baby in and to put him in floating upon that Nile. But brethren, we have to understand that she would not have done so had her husband not been in agreement. She would not have taken the initiative, nor would she have taken the actions that she did unless her husband, the man from Levi, would have agreed to do so. And when we read here in Hebrews 11:23, we see that unity between the parents. We see the core of the family values, because we see that father and mother are one. It is interesting that here the scripture makes sure that we know that this wasn't something that came from Jochebed's own mind without consulting her husband. That she did not go against the wishes of her husband. Again, the fact that he decided to marry and he and his wife still had children in spite of everything that was going on in a very violent world that they were living in. There is no doubt then that the man from Levi was in agreement with his wife, that it was necessary to spare their children, or rather to spare their child. You see, brethren, when we talk about the threefold cord, it begins with a husband and a wife who become a father and a mother. There's two of your three cords. And depending on the unity between the two who have become one, depending on the responsibility between the two to one another, will depend the strength and the unity of that home. If the husband and wife are never in agreement, if they are always arguing, well then that great question from the prophet Amos has to be answered. Can two walk together who do not get along? You see, we see that the Jochebed and her husband, Moses' parents, thought exactly the same thing. They both looked at the priority of the child's safety. But how beautiful that in verse 23 says that both of them shared the same faith, because they were both able to see that the child was special. Both of Moses' parents were able to recognize that there was something different about Moses. Something that Moses was distinguished from Miriam and from Aaron. This is why they decided, as a cohesive unit, to hide the child for 3 months. This was no easy task, brethren. Remember that Egyptian soldiers were searching the homes for any kind of child who was under two. Any kind of male child that was under two. A newborn babe, usually when he is hungry, he begins to cry uncontrollably. This was not an easy task. It was something difficult that they had to do, and yet, the boldness found in Moses' father is also found in his mother. And we see how they work together. But when we go back to Exodus, brethren, notice that, as we said earlier in our lesson this morning, that family values isn't only or limited to the parents. Yes, the parents are essential, and yes, the parents are important. But we saw that the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, twice says that he wrote to the young, that he wrote to them because they were strong. He wrote to them because they had conquered the evil one. He wrote to them because they, in them, the word of God abides in. Notice verse 4. And his sisters stood afar off to know what would be done to him. There is the third of the threefold court. You have the father and the mother and the children all in agreement. Notice Miriam, how she supported her parents. Notice Miriam, how she too, like her mother, like her father, took the risk to protect her brother. Observe how what she was doing was also a very dangerous task. We don't know how old she was, but she had to have been young. She had to have been very young to have been seen or accepted in the presence of the daughter of Pharaoh as one of her maidens. Notice how bold this young girl was to have gone and walked along the Nile, a river that is known for the infestment of crocodiles. Notice the boldness that she was walking amongst the reeds, following however long that cradle was in the water, or that ark of bulrushes was in the water. Miriam took after her parents. Miriam was bold like her mother and her father. And Miriam too was in agreement that they needed to do this to protect the child, to spare the child from such a violent and unrighteous death. Observe how, unlike Cain, who asked the question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Miriam was answering, "I absolutely am, very literally, my brother's keeper." Because she was keeping of Moses, she was guarding Moses, she followed Moses. And then when finally Moses arrived to the hands of Pharaoh's daughter, we see that it is Miriam who springs into action. It is Miriam who was already knew or understood what it was that she needed to do. The agony that her mother felt in letting her child go, Miriam was able to restore by bringing the child back to his mother. A threefold cord cannot easily be broken. You see, brethren, here is what we are seeing. Like John, when he spoke to the church in 1 John chapter 2, we see why he spoke to the fathers, and we see why he spoke to the young. And here we are seeing that played out. Because the father and the mother were united in this, but so was the daughter. She was able to see that it was important. She was able to see that it was necessary. Now, keep in mind that she didn't become jealous of her brother. She didn't become envious of her little brother because what made him so special that didn't keep her or Aaron from the same fate. She didn't take it upon herself to drown the child or to reveal where the child was. Notice the comparison between her and Cain. We see that Adam and Eve from the very beginning were not in the same mindset. We see that from the moment that Eve was speaking to the serpent, she was already thinking differently from Adam. From the moment that she was being enticed and her focus shifted from seeing that fruit as something dangerous to something that was good to eat, she and her husband were no longer of the same mindset. But sadly, Adam came to agree with his wife when he chose to follow her lead. And this splinter, this lack of cohesiveness, unfortunately spills over to their children, Cain and Abel. Because the same is true when we see how Cain and Abel were so different from one another. You know, one time Brother Brown and I were talking, and he brought up something very interesting. If you notice with whom the list of Hebrews 11 begins, Have you ever noticed what the starting point of Hebrews 11 is? It begins there at verse 4 with the name of Abel. But wait a minute, Abel wasn't the first man. Abel didn't even live a long time. What about his parents? What about Adam? Why wasn't Adam included in the Hall of Faith? Very, very wise question. But then with Moses, we see that not just Jochebed's name was included, but both of his parents are. Notice the difference between the homes. Notice the comparison between the homes. One was a threefold cord, meaning that they were all united. They all thought alike, and they all followed the father's lead. The other had problems in leadership. The other had problems as far as establishing who was the head of household. And very likely this was not an easy task. This wasn't something that was quickly resolved. Because we see that scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 3 that Cain was wicked. You see, when we read in Exodus chapter 2 and we see the presence of Miriam as she protected her brother, as she cared for her sibling, how she did not have jealousy of him because the parents thought that there was something that distinguished him from her and her other brother. We see how she listened and obeyed to what her parents were telling her, but she also understood and comprehended the pain that they must have been going through. We see why a family that is united becomes valuable in the sight of the Lord. We see why a family that thinks the same thing, who thinks alike, who speaks the same thing, who is able to work as one in the field, becomes such a mighty presence to the world. Had Miriam and her parents been at odds with one another? Had Jochebed and her husband been at odds with one another? Moses very likely would have been drowned by the Egyptians. And God would have lifted a liberator from another family. But because they were united, because they were working as one, because they were the threefold cord, they were not afraid, says Hebrews. They were not afraid of the king's command. And because they as one were bold, and because they as one worked together to save their younger sibling, they were able to produce Israel's great liberator. Please now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Going back to Hebrews chapter 11. Indeed, what Hebrews has to say about Moses has always been fascinating. Notice now what else the Hebrew amanuensis has to tell us in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. We can't leave Moses out of the family, can we? It's family values. We've seen how the parents were valuable. We've seen how the older sister was valuable. Oh, and we can't forget the brother. Because after all, it is Aaron whom God sends to receive Moses when he returns from Midian, remember? It was Aaron whom God used to be as the mouthpiece of Moses. The unity was there. But can you imagine? Can you fathom what it would be like if Moses would have never refused to call himself the son of the daughter of Pharaoh? How heartbreaking would that have been? They went through all that sacrifice. They took that great risk. They did it all to save him, to spare him from such a violent and brutal death, only for it to later become the greatest regret they've ever committed. To have saved perhaps a man who became their own tyrant, an ungrateful man who, instead of being grateful at what his family had done for him, he would have been conceited and egocentric, having that attitude that sometimes I've seen and heard in younger folks when they say, "I didn't tell you to do that for you. I never asked you to bring me into this world." No, we don't see that in Moses. Notice that the same faith that was in his parents, the same faith that was in his sister and his brother, the same mentality that they had, where they were not afraid of the king's command, where they were not afraid to suffer the consequences, where they were not afraid of the risk that they were taking. Observe how Moses, although raised by Pharaoh's daughter, thought the same way, acted the same way. But if he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, where did this come from? Well, it says that his mother nursed him. Thus, this means that from a very young age, she instructed him. She taught him. She revealed to him the truth about whom he was and why he was sitting in Egypt's royal court. It's beautiful when we read verse 25, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." There is a grateful heart. There is a man who did indeed appreciate the sacrifices that his family had done for his own life. And we see how Moses was now, if you will, returning the favor. Just like his people had suffered, more specifically, his family had suffered so that he could survive. Now he too would endure suffering. He too would endure whatever affliction was necessary so that his people, his family, could survive. And indeed, Moses took a great risk, didn't he? Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Notice what Stephen tells us about Moses there in Acts chapter 7. Beginning at verse 17. "But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?' But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?' Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him." Notice what Moses did for his brethren. Notice how he sacrificed his crown, if you will. Notice how he had that heart to go and visit his own kin. He never lost sight of his true identity. He never lost sight of what family he belonged to. He never lost sight of whom he really was. But Stephen, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us that Moses, in verse 25, always knew. He understood that he would be Israel's deliverer. He understood that he would be the one to save his brethren from such oppression. And he knew that they would understand and they would be able to connect these dots by seeing how he was willing to kill an Egyptian to defend them. The boldness that Moses had in killing an Egyptian, being a man from the court, not worried about being accused of treachery, not worried of being accused about conspiring against the kingdom of Egypt. This is what Hebrews calls that he chose rather the afflictions with his people, and then to be a fugitive of the law, to have to leave everyone behind, to have to leave all of his family behind, just so that he can return and now do in return for them what they did for him. To spare them. To save them from such a violent and brutal world. This morning we said that comparing God's word with the definition of Merriam-Webster, we would see if they got the definition right. Family values, as defined, if you recalled, are a set of conservative or traditional traits that strengthens the fabric of a society. Remember? Moses' family had these values. The parents and the children as a home were one. They were all of the same mind, and they all spoke the same thing. But what made them a valuable family was the faith that Hebrews speaks about. Because by faith, they hid Moses 3 months. By faith, they were able to recognize that he was special in the eyes of God. By faith, they were not afraid of the king's command. And by faith, Moses was grateful and returned and had the strength to deny the crown of Egypt. And if it was faith, well, then this means that the presence of God is what brought them together. This means then that they were a godly family. And indeed, they were. Because Aaron becomes the first high priest. And Moses, he becomes the servant of the Lord, who would then give the law and later endearingly would be known as the Mosaic Law. Did the family of Moses strengthen the fabric of Israel's nation? Yes, it did. So then we ask the question. If the world understands what family values are, if they understand that family values will indeed strengthen the very fabric of society, why are families not valued more in our time? Why are families not protected and are not encouraged to be godly so that the society can be stronger, so that our civilization can have a better direction? It's not that they don't understand it, it's that they will not accept it. What lacked in that definition was the most important part of family values. Psalm 127:1, remember? Unless the Lord build the house, in vain they labor. The key ingredient to make a family valuable, the key ingredient to make a family worthy of strengthening the very fabric of society, is God Himself. And in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, in accordance with Hebrews chapter 11, verses 21 and forward. We see this to be true. Because they all had the unity in faith. And it began with a bold, faithful father, united with a bold, faithful mother, supported by a bold, faithful sister and brother. This then created a bold, faithful, and grateful younger sibling. You see, Israel was delivered not by one man. Israel, in reality, was delivered by one family. Had his parents not been bold and had his sister not been selfless, Moses would have never been able to survive the cruel decree of Pharaoh. You see, brethren, many times we underestimate the might of the threefold cord. A family that is united in God, a family that is united by God, a family that is united for God and with God will not be broken easily. Satan will try, because that's what we see in Exodus chapter 2. He will do whatever he can, and he will use whatever he has at his disposal. But notice the story of triumph in Moses. No matter what Satan threw at the family that Moses came from, they triumphed. They survived. And they were able to protect Israel's great deliverer. Now, my friend, we as a family, as a cohesive unit in Christ, we who are united in the same mind, who are in the like-minded of each other, in that same faith, brought together by the faith in Christ Jesus, sustained with the faith in Christ Jesus, and who love one another for the faith that we share with one another, we will all join our voices and as one lovingly invite you to be a part of this family. We want to help you survive the waters of death. We want to help you bring you out of the waters of death into newness of life. But those waters of death today are known as the waters of baptism. Because you go in as an old man, and then that old man remains in that watery grave, and you rise from those waters a new man in Christ. For anyone who has been baptized in Christ is a new creation. We want to help you. We want to be our brother or our sister's keeper, which is why we always insist with such a loving, warming heart and asking you, don't you want to be added by him to this family? Don't you want to be part of the most valuable family that has ever existed in mankind's existence? Because the family that is the church will be the one and only family still standing when everything is said and done. And only those of us who have the DNA of Jesus Christ running through our spiritual veins will be able to shout in victory and will be able to rejoice for all of eternity with our eternal Father in his kingdom. If you would like to be added by Christ to this family tonight, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.